Welcome back to another episode of Behind the Bench with Martin Madden, who, of course, is the Ducks assistant general manager and director of amateur scouting. We know you have places to be, Martin. It's a busy week, so we won't go too long here, but we'll keep it spicy and very informative. Look, Martin, there's not too many people who have as much travel points as you do. You're on the road nonstop. Does draft week slow down in a sense because you're so go, go, go all the time, or you're already busy and it's just amplified?
Interesting. Like, the rhythm of the season really changes after the U18s World Championships. Like, until that point, so usually before it was the third week of April, now it's pushed back 1 week. It's go time from mid-March until then. It's playoffs. You're chasing guys left and right. You don't know how long their team is going to last. So that is very busy and changing. So you got 6 weeks of intense scouting. And why are we doing it so intensely still? Well, those are important games, right? The ramifications of every game is higher. The intensity is higher. So we want to see those players who are still impacting their team, how they're doing it, and those that are still playing and are not impacting, what's happening there. So after that, that's where it slows down. After that, we've always done it where we have our meetings during the combine. So we do take a breather between the U18s and the combine to put things in perspective, right? So that's when it slows down, and then combine starts, and then combine all the way to the draft is pedal to the metal.
So very interesting. Very interesting. And Martin, you have obviously a ton of experience within the game of hockey. I think listeners who are going to tune into this episode would be curious to understand where you got your knowledge as far as breaking everything down to the narrowest degree. Of course, a very bright individual with an engineering degree from McGill. Of course, a GM experience back with the Nordiques, and of course, winning a cup with the Carolina Hurricanes organization back in 06. Your resume speaks for itself. Is there any one individual or it's like Gretzky with the pen and the paper, following the puck. I mean, where do you get your knowledge if you can break it down to the narrowest degree?
Well, it definitely started with, the environment I grew up in, right? My dad was with the Nordiques for 12 years. He was with the Ramparts and the Flyers before. So I grew up around the game. And especially that we lived in Quebec City, those years where he was the GM of the Ramparts, that's a junior team, and involved with the Nordiques, I was around the team all the time, right? So you get familiar with the rhythm of a high level elite hockey players and how they think and how they act, and so that's where I got that part. I played. I was pretty good. I'm really, really small, so there was a limit to what I could do with my game. But I could play, so I understand the game well from that perspective. And then, like everything else, it's reps. It's getting an opportunity. And an old coach of mine gave me an opportunity to work for the Mooseheads right from day one. So spent 4 years there, watching Bantam age players. So 14 to 16 year olds, 300 games a year, just being a rink rat and doing it for almost no money. And, all the scouts who do it at the junior level, that's what they do. It's a passion. It's not about what they're getting paid and they're getting a hat, they're getting a jacket, but they want to be involved. And that's how I started. And that's how you get better. Like, I do have an analytic background, which helped me later on, but you just got to see a lot of hockey and see how players evolve and what qualities are transferable and what could be limiting. And you know, you've got to put in the reps just like everything else.
And two things really stuck out from what you said there in my mind. And obviously that's reps. It's like anything. It's like basketball players. You know, how do they get that shooting percentage with that small ball and you got a 7-footer, you know, guarding you? I mean, that's all repetitions, no different from shooting a puck. And so that's the one thing that stood out, but the love of the game. And, you know, being a rink rat, you've seen so many games over the years, and the development aspect was quite intriguing between, you know, those Bantam age, right? So you're seeing development in front of your eyes, even at that level. And I'm sure that shapes your thinking, of course, when they hit draft year and those years after that. Let's go back to the upcoming draft here. Take us day by day from Monday, obviously earlier in the week, till now, until draft day. What is that day by day? What's the process?
So everybody basically over the years, we've brought everybody in on the Tuesday. So the last few years, there's been a camp that I've gone to right before that. So I fly in on the Monday night. Everybody gets into town wherever the draft is this year. We're all in Anaheim. We get together on Tuesday night just socially. And then this morning, we go over the discussions I've had with my scouts individually since we had our group meeting. So yeah, after the combine, we've stepped back for a few days. You get the combine results, the fitness results. We look at our psych evaluations. We talk to the doctors. We now have all the medical info for these players. And I go back through our list with our scouts individually, and I take notes, you know, what they're comfortable with, what they're not comfortable with, you know, areas of the list that we know probably is where we're going to be picking from. You know, coming into this week, we had 10 and 60. So that's what we were really focusing on, 10, 60, 72. Those were the picks that we had coming in. Now we've got an extra one. So this morning we addressed that. We went through our top 40, and we addressed any issues that were raised in those individual talks. Tonight, team dinner. So we all get together. Everybody who's in town, we get together, have a nice dinner. We get back at it tomorrow morning. We finish up digging down on the list for rounds 4 through 7. And then the last 5 or 6 years, we've presented to Henry our top 30. Top 32, depending on how many teams are in the first round. So that's what we'll do tomorrow afternoon. It'll be a little bit more relaxed tomorrow night. And then everybody gets up early on Friday. It's game day. Nerves kick in a little bit, but we're prepared. Have lunch together, go down to the venue, and we let it happen.
It's go time.
Yeah, exactly.
Two things that I got to touch on. A, the combine. Is there any, hey, four players for whatever reason, Martin, that stood out in your mind?
No, you know what? To me, the fitness testing is more about getting a sense of where the players are at this point. You know, some guys do stand out as elite athletes right away, but Over the years, I think we've come to the conclusion that it's more about self-awareness. When we've met them earlier in the week and during combine week, do they understand where they are? And does that match with the results we see at the end of the week once they've tested? You know, do they understand where they are and how much work they need to put in over the next 4 years, 5 years, right? And at the same time, those that are already physically mature and ready to go, well, where are they going to get better? what is it about them that will help them continue to adapt to the next level? And how are they going to do that? And obviously the medical portion is really important, because you want to be aware, like, injuries are happen, but you want to make sure that you know the risk of injuries that have happened in the past. You don't want to put yourself in a situation where you're dealing with something that you can't do anything about medically.
And regarding the point you made in regards to having an extra pick now, yep. 45th, this draft, and then you get the fourth rounder in 2026. Just spoke with Ryan Poehling before hopping on this show. And look, what overall thoughts on the trade? You know, Ryan's game, can you elaborate?
Well, I really liked Ryan's game as a draft. I have not watched him all that much the last few years, so I know our pro guys see a defined role for him. They're excited about the last 25 games he played last year. Seemed to get more confident offensively while continuing to be a really strong two-way guy for the Flyers. And you know, personally, it's always tough to see a kid that you drafted go. It's happened before, it will happen again, and we understand the cycles, and we understand that roster building is different than drafting. Wish Trevor the best. I think he'll figure it out, and that's it.
And no shortage of big things that Z did in his time with Anaheim. We wish him all the best, and just memorable goals he was a part of, the off ice. I mean, fans loved him. So once again, we wish him all the best. Is there something that was maybe you had an eye on a certain player, but you didn't feel like you were in that spot? Now with that 45th pick, you feel like you're more readily available to get a player that you were thinking about?
I think what we do well as a group on the amateur side is understanding that draft market really well, and we strategize around it. For sure, it brings us into a different grouping of player at 45 versus 60. So that is exciting, and it with an extra pick in that area, it also gives us flexibility to maybe try to move up and get into a different grouping.
And a little bit more into maybe your draft style. Of course, you're with a team in the upper management, so I get it. But year after year, is the style draft for needs, or is it more best available player at that point? Do you stick with one, or it's not, it's kind of random?
For the most part, it's such a long road to being an NHL player from the time you're drafted that best available is what we go for. But what does that mean? You know, it can mean a lot of things to different people. So we do have our values. We do have things that we look for in players. And depending on where we are in the cycle and how many picks we've had before, then need can become a factor. Yeah, I won't say that it can, because you draft 4 or 5 years in the top 10, then you know you've drafted a certain type of player. Now you need some other type of player you need to look at it, because you know that player will be part of the Ducks. You're not just hoping that it turns out. So that'd be my answer.
And it's hard not to do both at the same time, right? Look, you're drafting for needs and best available. I mean, that's more than possible to have happen. And in regards to advanced stats, with draft eligible prospects and guys that are already playing in the NHL, do you use the same standard? Is there advanced stats that you focus more on because they're younger, because the game size, speed might be a tad different? Is there breaks given to draft eligible prospects when it comes to certain categories?
We're trying to standardize that. The issue becomes the history that we have. You know, you want to use stats to predict, right? Because you can describe all you want. We're in the business of predicting how good a player is going to become. So to do that, you need a data set that is large enough, that goes back in time long enough to be able to do that. So we're building that. We're accumulating knowledge over the years. I would say, as of now, we look at the same data set, pro and amateurs, but we'll see what turns out to be more predictive for us as we gain more knowledge and we study that data set more.
Very interesting. Going back to last draft, Beckett Seneca, obviously the first pick for the Anaheim Ducks. He was ranked 13th by Central Scouting in the final rankings for North American skaters. Ducks obviously selected him third overall. Surprise to many. I think listeners would be curious, in that point in time, why not trade the pick and drop down and, hey, maybe we would best be situated there where he was ranked in the Central Scouting? Or was there rumblings of teams at the fourth, fifth, sixth pick that you heard that might have just said, hey, no, we need to take this guy now? Or does it not matter? You have that pick. You have your guy, and everything is off the table at that point.
10 years from now, it won't matter, but I would be lying if I said that we don't strategize around that. So we do gather info. We do dig in. And depending on the situation, we'd be willing to trade back if we were sure that we're getting a good probability of being able to select the same player. I could go back to the Ricky Raquel, Gibson, William Carlson draft year. We traded down because we thought we could get two of those players for sure. We ended up getting three, and they were our targets, right? So we knew Will Carlson was not viewed as highly as we did. In the case of Beckett, our understanding was that we could not take that risk. You know, that's the player we had targeted, and we could not afford to play around with that, basically.
And just by eye test, when you see his highlight reels, I mean, the goals, what he's been able to do since the Ducks selected, that's a third overall pick type of player right there, which is, the choices you guys make, and you guys certainly anticipated big things out of him. So, congrats to you. And he's coming along. Like, he looks like he's going to be some player. Just going back to last draft again, I mean, just happy with a lot of the results with prospects you selected later rounds, or even second pick in the first round, Stian Solberg. Look, he's doing huge things at the World Championship, so on and so forth, in San Diego. Just a couple guys from either Stian or other guys down the line in other rounds. Just quick update on a couple of those prospects.
Yeah, well, I think you mentioned Stian. I think it's interesting. It speaks to the non-direct trajectory of player development. And you know, Stian was playing first year in the SHL this year, and had to acquire a new coach's trust. You know, and it was up and down in that respect in terms of his time on ice early in the year. But clearly, his confidence was never affected, and he continued to play his game regardless of how much he was used. And we saw the result of that in San Diego, and then he goes to the World Championships, and he is even better than he was last year at those World Championships. So I think it speaks to his character, his mindset, and his inner belief, you know, confidence in his own game. Basically, I think we can expect big things from Stian in the future. Another defenseman who had a really strong breakout season is Terrence Smith in Everett. Really, really excited about what's coming from him. He's further away because physically he's not where Steen is. Steen is close to being physically ready to play in the NHL. Terran's going to take a little longer. He's got to put some muscles on, add some mass, but he's got great hockey sense, mobility, nice touch with the puck. It was a really good year for him.
Good stuff. And going to this upcoming draft here, Adam Kimmelman and Mike Morial, they put together, of course, their mock drafts with NHL.com. And I think you would enlighten the fans that are going to be listening to this episode. Just, hey, maybe top 10 projections. If you and your great hockey mind can maybe give some insight into some of these players, starting off with what they both have as their first overall pick, Matthew Schaefer.
No, Schaefer is a great player. He's got unbelievable mobility, general awareness with and without the puck. He's going to be a great NHL player.
Another OHL player, Michael Misa with Saginaw, just some
exceptional status going into the OHL, played at 15 years old, has continued to grow physically and in terms of his game. He had an unbelievably productive season for Saginaw. Good offensive player, lots of speed, can shoot the puck.
Anton Frondell, they said he has incredible compete level and a compete factor to him. Just a couple basic points.
Big, strong, two-way center, smart player.
And Caleb
Dinoyi.
I saw some clips of him earlier. Super skilled. He's got that off-the-rush kind of game that even Beckett Seneca has a lot of that as well. So extremely skilled around the net from what I saw, especially on the flank on the power play. He can do big things. I mean, just a couple points from him.
Interesting. He can play all types of games. Like he played for Canada, the U18s in the summer and last year as an underage and in the summer at Hlinka tournament. And he can play a heavy game as well. Like he's very versatile. Another smart two-way player that brings a level of skill that we'll see him drafted early.
And he's with Moncton in the Quebec League there. How about Roger McQueen with Brandon in the Western League?
Yeah, Roger's has had a tough 2 years, you know, with injuries. He's really happy to have been able to, you know, put that behind. He's fully healthy now. Met him at the combine. He was really happy to be able to test fully there. So big, skilled, smart player. Like he's got a nice future.
And James Higgins, Boston College.
James is fast. He's skilled. He's really creative. Good player.
What about Jake O'Brien Brantford, Ontario Hockey League?
Jake is he's a playmaker. They used him 25, 28 minutes a night in all situations. Really smart player, really, really skilled player. Some of the same skill you saw in Beckett's game. Jake's got that. Physically, he's got some ways to go, but really smart player.
And Porter Matone, Brampton.
Some with the world junior team, big power forward, can shoot the puck. He's a scorer. He likes to play the game inside.
Is it Radim Mertka?
Mertka is a really big Czech right defenseman. Started the year in Czech Republic at the pro level. Finished it in Seattle, where he played a lot of minutes and improved his draft stock. He's a good two-way defenseman.
Gashon Aitchison, and I tell you what, Martin, I saw clips of this guy. He is, it's like Subban with those open ice hits. It is Trouba in the anticipation. Goods, he's got that timing down with these hits. These puck carriers have no clue he's coming. Besides the physical game, maybe adding on to the physical game. I mean, just a couple points on him.
Yeah, I think he likes it. Yeah. he likes to set the tone early. And he scored 26 goals. He can really shoot the puck. He's got good offensive instincts. and he defends with intensity.
And of course, he's playing with Barry of the OHL. How about Victor Eklund out of Sweden?
You know, his brother plays in San Jose, passed all over the ice, hunts pucks, goes to the net, drives the net, really good skill. He's a competitor.
Brady Martin, last one, Sault Ste. Marie.
Another one you saw with the U18s, Canadian team, step up, really physical, two-way player, really good shot. Another good player.
Martin, thanks so much for taking the time. I know the fans will thoroughly enjoy the insight of your brilliant hockey mind. You know the game so well. And we're ecstatic for this week, this upcoming draft. Can't wait for you guys to continue to push this organization in the right direction. So congrats to the picks you've made in the past, and good luck to what's to come here starting this weekend.
Thanks, Emerson. Always a pleasure.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.